and stand with me as we read today's text that we're going to be studying out of. I love Ezra. He's my preacher in training. Good, subtle lungs he's got. Hallelujah. What a joy. John 3, verses 1 through 8. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, "Truly, truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." "How can a man be born when he's old?" Nicodemus said. "Can he enter into his mother's womb a second time to be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and of the Spirit. Flesh is born of flesh, but the Spirit is born of the Spirit. Do not be amazed that I said you must be born again. The wind blows where it pleases, where it wishes. You hear its sound, but you do not know where it's coming from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." Let's pray. Father, I just pray through the power of your word, through the power of your Holy Spirit at work in us, that you will remove anything in our mind that fights against your word, any former religious belief or any lie of that we've embraced. Lord, just pluck it out of our minds. If there's anything in our heart that has become hard through unforgiveness and through pain of our past, Lord, soften it up so we can hear your word. If there's any weed, any cares of this world that's screaming at us for attention, I pray in Jesus' name that you will help us to pull out that weed and to set it aside so that your word, as it's being taught today, will land on good soil and produce a crop. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. It's a very powerful chapter. I remember the first verse I ever learned, in Vacation Bible School, of John 3:16. And that verse, at such a young age, I didn't understand it, but I had it committed to my memory, and it stuck with me my entire life. It is perhaps the most valuable, the most read, the most memorized verse in all of Scripture. It comes from this chapter that we're starting to study today. And it comes out of this context of Jesus meeting with a Pharisee named Nicodemus. He was a prominent member of this ruling class that oversaw the Jewish people. He was a, for all practical purposes, a politician. He was a leader. He was someone that had been put into a position of authority. When he spoke, people jumped. When he commanded, people did things. He was somebody with responsibility. He was somebody with authority. But it was, he wanted to learn from Jesus so much, but he did not want to face the ridicule of the daylight, of people knowing that he's coming to Jesus to be taught. So it says he came at night. And so in this context of a prominent man that wants to explore truth, but he's not ready to pay a price for it yet, that's where we have Nicodemus. And so if you're taking notes, there's a note sheet in your bulletin if you want to pull that out. The first thing is Nicodemus was a Pharisee who came to Jesus at night to be taught by him. Again, he was exploring. He was what is called a seeker. He was somebody that has heard Jesus before, or heard about him. He may have heard about the miracle that we studied a few weeks ago of when he turned water into wine. He could have heard about one of his other healings and maybe some encounters that some of the disciples have had got leaked out. And so his reputation is starting to grow. And Nicodemus, being a man of God, wanted to know the truth. And so he came to Jesus. But again, it says he came to him at night. Some of you may have been there at one time where you knew that there was something about Jesus, but you weren't ready to be classified as a Jesus wacko, as a religious nut. But you were interested. You wanted to know more. But again, you weren't ready to really jump out into the daylight and say, I am counted as one of his. And so that's where we have Nicodemus. Now, one of the things about Nicodemus is he couldn't get beyond the understanding that Jesus was a teacher sent from God. Look at verse 2. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him. Do you remember in John chapter 1? It said that there came a man who was sent from God, and his name was John. John the Baptist was a man sent from God, and he was a teacher. John the Baptist was a teacher sent from God. See, that's where Nicodemus is at. Nicodemus has Jesus on the same level of a John the Baptist. He has him on the same level of a Moses, or as any of the other people in the Old Testament, a teacher that God has sent into the world to teach us. But you have to understand, that's not enough to save you. But that's where he was at. He had this flesh understanding of Jesus. He was a man who was making sense. He was a man that was doing some signs that seemed like God was at work in his life. And that's as far as Nicodemus could go. There's a lot of us like that. I was once like that, where I saw him as a good teacher. I saw him as a godly man as I read the scriptures. But until I was saved, until I was born again, I couldn't grasp who Jesus was. See, Jesus is not a man sent from God. According to John 1:1, it says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God, and this Word became flesh, and it's Jesus Christ. He is not a man sent from God. He is God who became man. Everybody, does that make sense, the difference? It's a huge difference, because again, I am a man who was sent from God. I am. I am a man who has been saved, and God has given me gifts. And he's done some great stuff through me. But at the end of the day, I'm just a man. I make mistakes just like you. I am as flawed as you are. And in some cases, I'm probably worse. The way I was raised in foster homes and orphanages, being thrown around and all these placements, being put on probation when I was 12, I am really flawed. I've got memories of abuse. I've got hurtful things in my soul that God needs to work on, and he's been working on them in these last 40 years or so that I've been walking with him. But I have a long way to go. Jesus is God in the flesh. Amen? But see, Nicodemus wasn't there. He wasn't there yet. It was like, okay, you're a good teacher. You're saying some cool things. I want to learn from you. But see, Jesus does not respond the way that we think he should. If it was me, Nicodemus came to me and he said, you're a man sent from God. You're a good teacher. I would like to learn from you. And I would say, cool. I want to teach you. But ultimately, I want to take you to Jesus. Why? Because he's not a man sent from God. He is God in the flesh. That's where I want to take him. But see, Jesus doesn't need to do that. He is God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so he goes in a different direction. Point C, Jesus introduced the spiritual experience known as being born again. Born again. That word born is a tricky word. I will get into a little more detail in a second. But again, this born again is better interpreted as begot again. It's a word that was used exclusively for a man begotting a child, not the woman. See, when you think of the woman begotting a child, you think of the whole birth process of the woman giving birth and the baby going down and coming up and being separated from the mother and being born. This begot was more of what I call a DNA word. It's mono, one. Jesus is called monogene. It's a genetic word. This has that same kind of connotations to it. It's anageneo, born or begot again. It's a second begotting, like when you were conceived. It's a second conception. It's something that happens separate from your natural birth. And Jesus, again, is trying to shake him up to take him to the supernatural, to get him shocked out of this level of, oh, this is a good teacher and he's got good stuff to say and I want to learn from him, to this is God in the flesh and I should fall down before him on my face and worship. See, he's trying to shake him up, to let him know that there is something different going on here than him just getting a fad teacher of the moment and learning some cool stuff, that there is the giver of life in front of him that can begot him again. See, one of the things that a lot of Christians don't even grasp is that all of us are born dead spiritually. Our ancestors gave that to us. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, something deep inside them died that day. And they passed on that death to us. There is a part of you, like a broken radio, inside you that can't pick up signals of the spiritual. It's broken. It's a radio that has been crushed. And the speakers are busted. The tuner's busted. The cord's been cut. That's the radio inside you and me that picks up spiritual things. We're born busted. What's the solution? That has to be repaired. That has to be fixed. That part of your life, your spirit, has to be born, begot again. It's got to be reborn. It's got to be refabricated. It's got to be put back together again so that it works. See, Nicodemus will never get out of the flesh until there is a repairing of something deep inside him that can pick up spiritual signals. You and I are born that way. Even if you were raised in church. And this is something that I, in my experience of ministry over these last 40 years or so, I have seen people that have been sitting in pews for 40, 50, 60 years. It's sitting in a pew and they've heard all the messages, but they're picking them up on a flesh signal like Nicodemus. Oh, this is good teaching. This can help me to be a better husband. This can help me to be a better wife. But that part in them that helps them to get new life is broken. Even church folks have to be born again. Amen? You cannot see the kingdom of God unless your spirit is born again. It has to be repaired. You can't get the signals of God. You can't get past the flesh. And that's where Nicodemus was. Verse 3, Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born. She is born again." May that sink in. It's not about church attendance. It's not about being a good moral person. That's all on the flesh level. That you can stay there and you can be a good person implementing the truth of God's word, but you can never see the kingdom of God unless you have your radio repaired. And only Jesus Christ can do that. No teaching in the world, no guru, no pastor, no priest can do that for you. Only God, who is in the flesh, can repair your spirit. Again, Nicodemus, he couldn't get past this. He couldn't understand spiritual truths without being illuminated, without having the light turned on, without having his spirit born again. He couldn't understand it. We see this in verse 4. He says, "How can a man be born when he's old?" Nicodemus asks, "Does he have to enter his mother's womb a second time to be, and it's more precise, reconceived, rebegot?" I don't get it, Jesus. That's a weird teaching. I have to go back into mom. I have to get begot again by my dad to start over again? That's weird. See, to a person that has not been born again, a lot of what I say up here is going to be blah, 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 blah. Why? Because their receiver's broken. And they're only going to stay on this flesh plane until they're born again. And then all of a sudden it's like, wow, I get it. And that's where Jesus is trying to lead him. Now, it's something I mentioned already. The word born is the Greek word that's used when a man begots or fathers a child. And this word shows up in verse 3. "Truly, truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again," reconceived. Unless there is a transformation in your spirit that is dead. Again, back to the radio analogy, your radio has got to be repaired. When that's repaired, you'll start getting spiritual stuff. You'll start understanding his word. You'll start understanding his plan for you, of the gifts that he's given you and the talents that he's given you and how they were given to you specifically for a purpose. You won't get the whole big picture until you're born again. It'll all be blah, 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 blah. The louder a preacher gets, the louder a teacher gets, the more blah, blah, blahs you'll hear. Now, Jesus clarified it, that there's a difference between a person's natural birth and their spiritual birth. Look at this in verse 5 and 6. Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I tell you that no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and born of the Spirit." And then Jesus clarifies that, because you can say, well, what does it mean to be born of water? Are you talking about my baptism? See, that's a fleshly understanding of this. And that's why so many people teach that this is a baptism passage, that you get baptized, water baptized in our little tank that we have here. That's born again, is born of water. Jesus said, no, 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 no. Look at this. He says, flesh gives birth to flesh. That's your natural birth. That's your natural birth. That's the born of water. A lot of biblical scholars kind of struggle with this whole thing of what did he mean by being born of water? Again, remember that it's not the action of being born from your mother. You know, I mean, you can all picture a birth scene if you've had children and been there, and you know that the baby goes down and comes up, and then the doctor cuts the cord, does whatever they do, and sometimes they whack them on the backside to get them to start crying and get the ball rolling. It's not that action. It's the begot. Flesh begots flesh. That's born of water. And you can think that there is water involved at the birth. The water breaks and the baby comes out. But also in the Greek mind, the man's seed was called his water. And I think that that's probably a more accurate understanding of what born of water means. It's referring to the male contribution to the birth, to the begotting of, I'm trying to skirt this in case there's small children in the room. You get what I'm saying, right? So again, flesh gives birth to flesh. But then look at where he goes on. He says, flesh gives birth, is born of flesh, but the spirit is born of the spirit. Your spirit inside of you needs to be touched by the Holy Spirit of God to get that come into your spirit. Just like the baby, when the baby is born and the doctor whacks him, the baby goes, your spirit needs that. Your spirit needs that shock of life that only happens when the Holy Spirit of God touches your spirit and it's born. It life comes in. At conception, when life begins, that needs to happen to your spirit. And the seed that comes into you that gives life is the Word of God, inspired and propelled by the Spirit of God. That's how new life comes into you. You hear the Word of God, you must be born again. You say, well, I don't think I have that. How do I get that? Well, you come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, Lord, I have something dead in me, and I would like this new life you're talking about. Lord, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and teach me your ways. And in your spirit, there's a new life happens. You're born again. I think the solution to America's woes is going to happen when more pew sitters get out of this flesh where Nicodemus was and they experience that rush of life. And all of a sudden they jump from understanding that Jesus is a man sent from God to understanding that he is God made flesh and we are adopted into his family through this new life, this new birth. This, and then their life changes. Their priorities change. Something goes on. So again, Jesus clarified that there's a difference between a person's natural birth and their spiritual birth. And finally, verse 7, Jesus said this. He said, do not be amazed that I said you must be born again. The wind blows where it pleases. You hear its sound, but you do not know where it's from or where it is going, so it is everyone who is begot, born again of the Spirit. Jesus illustrated this event by referring to the wind. How many experienced the wind this morning? You open up the door and the wind kind of takes it out from your hand like a parasail, and you feel like you're going to fly around like the flying nun in that old TV show. You feel like you're just going to be propelled with the wind. There's such power with the wind. In 2013, I lived in a town that got hit by a Category 4 tornado. And I've never seen things like I saw out of that tornado. There was this one Volkswagen, and you know how I love Volkswagens, that had a street sign impaled through the metal into the vehicle, where it went from the trunk. And the wind poked it through the trunk, through the back seat, into one of the seats in the front, and it was stuck there with the sign hanging out the backside. Such power, such force to be able to do that. I saw trees that looked like they were straws that somebody just twirled the opposite ways until it was all tangled up. The tree was just totally tangled up. And just crushed this huge 100-year-old trees, just laid waste, twisted off like little straws. I saw houses just totally laid waste, where it was just a field of rubble when there was these $200,000 homes in this town, just laid waste, like a kid running through a Lego village and just kicking everything down and destroying it. That's what this town where the tornado hit looked like. Over 1,000 homes were damaged. So many people were homeless. The power of the wind. When you're born again, there is a force at work in you that helps you to do things that there's no way you're going to do on your own. There's no way that you're going to transform your life into being what God expects without an experience of having your spirit brought back from the dead. Every human being needs this. And only through the blood of Jesus Christ can it be done. See, all of the other religions are on this plane of where Nicodemus was. Oh, this is interesting teaching. Tell me more. See, the Bible says that knowledge puffs up. The more you learn, the more puffy we get. But true love builds up. When you're born again, you experience the true love of God, and you're not trying to pull yourself up by your own bootstraps anymore. You're being propelled by this force that can impale cars with street signs. And the powerfulness just changes. Something happens. And I can tell you, I've experienced this, that there is something that is so powerful. Now let's look at some of the applications of this passage. One, it's so important that we make disciples of Jesus, not of ourselves. See, I cannot save anyone. At best, I'm an average example. At best, I'm an example of what God can do. But I've really got no power in me to save you. I can teach you things, but in order for you to be born again, you've got to come to Jesus Christ. Only He can do that. My job is to bring you to Jesus, to teach you about Him, but you've got to ultimately come before Him and fall before Him and proclaim that He is God in the flesh and that He alone can save you. No human teacher can do that. It's so important that we make disciples of Jesus. Next, don't try to get someone's theology straight until you've introduced them to Jesus Christ. I've tried that before. All you create is puffed up monsters. When you try to teach theology to a person that's not been born again, you'll puff up their head and you'll get them all figured out with the facts and figures of God's word, but they will not have experienced the true love of God and the change that comes when this mighty wind takes hold of you. My words can't do that, but He can. He can transform from the inside. So don't try to change someone's theology. Jesus will figure that out. And see, that's what He did. Jesus is trying to show him that there is this supernatural transformation that he can experience that will illuminate him to so much more than he can ever hear just hearing words spoken to him. That he needed to have that receiver inside his soul fixed first. No one can be saved through teaching alone. They must experience new birth after being taught. See, I can only take you so far. The teaching that I do from the pulpit, the teaching that you get from radio and TV, from books, from the Bible itself, can only go so far until you're born again. And then something changes. I often say it this way: Christianity is not taught, it's caught. It's caught. The Holy Spirit that's at work in me will affect your spirit, will lead you to Jesus Christ, and you catch what I caught from someone else. I caught the Holy Spirit. It's passed on from person to person that's been regenerated, and it gets passed on. And you come to Christ, and you become a passer on, or you become a carrier of new life. And it's passed on. God uses person to person to pass this on. Next, a born-again person will show evidence of being reborn. He put it this way. He says, the wind blows where it wishes. You hear its sound, but you do not know where it's coming or where it's from or where it's going. So it is everyone born of the Spirit. There is fruit in you to show that you have new life. If you have no fruit of being born again, you may not be born again. You may be religious. You may have been a pew sitter. You may have been raised in a good church. You may have been raised by godly parents. But until you're born again, you will not have this power that truly moves you and changes you. The fruit of the Spirit will be an evidence in a person born again. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. And it's not that you memorize this list and try to do it. It's that it's fruit of the Spirit being born again. It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit being in you. See, the Bible says that anyone born of the Spirit has the Spirit. Anyone who is born again has the Holy Spirit inside them. The Holy Spirit is that wind that propels you. You cannot do it on your own. No self-help teacher, no self-help preacher, no advice from any guru or priest will ever get you to where God wants you. Only the Son of God can get you there. And you have to be born again to get it. Amen? Father God, it's a simple passage. It's a powerful passage. And Lord, the best I can do is to tell them that I am a beggar who found where there's really good bread. And Lord, you are the bread. You are the best bread. I am a dead person that has found life. Lord, you're good life. I pray that if there's anyone in this room that has never been born again, and they feel like they have something that's missing in them, and they've tried everything and it just comes to nothing, I pray, Lord, that they will just come to you in prayer and to say, Jesus, fix me. I'm broken. I need repair. Come into my life. Forgive me. Cleanse me. Heal me. In Jesus' name. And if there's anyone in this room that has prayed that for the first time, if they would like to pray with a believer, please come up. We've got spots on each side of the stairway here. Come and just kneel. Someone will join you and will lead you into the throne room of God and introduce you to the Savior who is God, who was made flesh and dwelt among us. The one and only, the only begotten Son of God. Holy Spirit, do your work. Help us as Christians, help us to understand that it's not trying to teach doctrine to unsaved people that's going to save them, that only you can save them. And help us to continue to bring people to you, Lord, so that they can be born again. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said,